Talk a little bit about shofar and its connection to musaf and what we need to be aware of as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah. So the first thing is the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch number one. That's right. So it's a siman min hashamayim. So the Mechaber writes, it's a mitzvah kuf pe'alef. Stam is an interesting thing. The Mechaber writes, tzarech l'tkayam umed. So the Baal Tekeya has to be standing. Okay. We could talk about that at a different time, but I want this Ramah. Ramah writes, "V'noyegim the minig is litkoya al abima. We blow the shofar by the bima. B'makim shekayrim. Why the bima? Because the bima is where we read the Torah. What does the bima have to do with anything? So Mishnah Berurah explains it. Number two, he says, "Kedesh shchusa Torah yogin." We blow the shofar there, so we want the shchusa Torah to protect us. Very interesting. One of the themes on Rosh Hashanah is we're always trying to get extra merit, extra points. So we try to play this Chos Akedah. We talk a lot about the Akedah. So here we're going to pull a different card. We're going to try to connect the Shofar to the Torah. We're going to say, Hashem, please listen to the Shofar b'schus of all the learning that came from this Bima. We read the Torah every single Shabbos and every single Monday and Thursday. So b'schus HaTorah, we wanted to go there. Then the Mishnah Berurah continues, and this is really where we left off from last week. Last week we were talking about... Right. The bima was usually special for Kriyas HaTorah. So that special makam of Torah is why we blow it at the bima. So last week, sure, we talked a lot about the criteria for being a Baal Tefillah. Right? Now I just want to talk a little bit about the criteria for being a Baal Tekeah. So obviously, if you want to be a Baal Tekeah, you have to know how to blow shofar. That's step number one. If you don't know how to blow shofar, you can't be a Baal Tekeah. But the Mishnah writes, V'ro'i litin l'tkoya tzadik v'hogoin. It's befitting to give the Baal Tekeah to be someone who's a tzadik v'hogoin. Now it's interesting, he doesn't say anything about being 30 and about being married and all that stuff that we saw by Baal Tefillah. He says he should be a tzaddik v'hogin, but there should never be any machloikus. There should be no fights. But he concludes, the one thing he does have to have in mind is that he has to have in mind that he's being moitzi the tzibah with his tkiyah. He has to realize that before he starts, his blowing for the community is going to be moitzi the people. Now we'll talk a little bit more about this Sunday morning. We're going to have a special share about what exactly is the mitzvah of shofar. Is the mitzvah of shofar to hear the shofar? The mitzvah of shofar is to blow the shofar. So this is going to come up a little bit there also. But there, here the Mishnah Berurah says that the one thing for sure about the Baal Tekeah has to know is he has to know that when he blows that shofar, those 100 kailas, he has to have in mind that he wants to have intentions we might see the people. So that sounds like you don't have to be such a hakpada like you have by a Baal Tefillah. He can be 20 years old and he can be single and he can be all that stuff. All those hakpadas are tefillah based hakpadas. The Mat Ephraim writes, Hamakre v'hatakeh, the makre and the tekeh. So we know by shofar there's like a team, the makre and the Baal Tekeah. I make the muscle to the pitcher and the catcher. Maybe it's not such a respectful muscle, but it's the same idea, right? You know, the pitcher, the catcher throws out the signs, and the pitcher makes the pitches, right? So the makre tells the Baal Tekeah what to blow, and then the Baal Tekeah blows them. So there's a team, the makre and the Baal Tekeah. And if you look in halacha, there's a lot of emphasis on the makre. Who should he be? Usually was the rav of the shul, became the makre. Sometimes the rav of the shul blows shofar, so they take someone else to be the makre. So the role of the makre is that he's supposed to be the one who's going to call out the shofar, and he's supposed to know the one who knows the halacha. I think last year, someone called me that they're having an outdoor minyan for Rosh Hashanah, and the only person who was willing to be the makre was a woman. They wanted to know, can a lady be the makre? That was the shayla. So the truth is, the makre is not just saying what to blow, but there's halacha is involved. You have to know how long the tkiyah is and how long this is. And I told the person, I think besides for halachic, I don't think it's a good idea. It's not a smart move. Try to find some. No, he told me no man wants to study the halachas. Only women are willing to be it. I said, I'll teach you the halachas. It's not so much to know. You have to know a couple things, but I don't know. They never called me back, so I don't know what happened at the end. So the Baal Makra is the second person, and the next after the Baal Tekeah. So the Mat Ephraim writes, HaMakra, Baal Tekeah, V'Ashleach Tzibar, HaMispal, Mosuf. All these people, the Makra, the Baal Tekeah, the Shleach Tzibar, the Davos Mosuf, Heim Roi, Lehem, Lisayri, Yosef, Heir Tshuva. They have to do even more tshuva. Why? They're really the middlemen between us and Hashem. Right? The Baal Musaf is a very important role. The Baal Tekeah is probably the most important role, I would say, because the Baal Tekeah, the Gemara says that the Shofar goes lefnai ulefnim. So it's a very, very important role about the Baal Tekeah. And the Makra also apparently has a lot of chashivas as well. You should look for a Baal Tekeah that he should be proper in his Torah knowledge and his good deeds. Just like I wrote by Shliach Tzibur. So the question is, what exactly does the Mat Ephraim mean over here? He means Mamish the same Akpadas about being married and being 30, or it just means, you know, should be a good guy. V'chein ha-makre, there's also emphasis on the makre. Then he concludes via Noigim Precious of Tahara Mikodova Mabel De Tum. There's another practice that the Mat Ephraim writes that the Baal Tekeh and the Baal Makre should also be Precious Vitahara also before Rosh Hashanah. If you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Didaktik Livchosh Leach Tzibur Sheispal Slichas Yibyom Neroim. We know, we spoke about this last week, that we're careful to try to find the Shleach Tzibur to daven on Yom Neroim. Ishahu Hogoin V'Godol B'Teiru Masim Toiv. A good person who's a Godol and Teiru and Masim Toivim, Kefi Masha Efshim Tzayir, as best as he can find. Interesting. He says, what's the pshat in 30? So we spoke at length about this last week. What's the significance of about tefillah who's 30? So here he says, because 30 is already stopped the blood of the youth. You matured a little bit. You're already 30. You already have some kids. You have tuitions to pay. You got a mortgage. You know, life gets more serious. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you should also be careful to choose a Baal Tekeah who's what? She toka shoifa b'Rosh Hashanah. I don't know, when I read this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like to me the only hakpod is that he should be a good person. We don't care so much about anything else. Oh wow, ooh. It's a tough job to makre. It's my job also. It's a big responsibility to makre. Okay, it's a lot of responsibility to be the Baal Makre.
I'll tell you something, Rabbi Spiegel.
He blows? Oh wow.
So there was one time there was a suffix and he looked at me and he said, I guess he looked, he had to blow over, and I said, no, he blew over anyway. So much for being a mocker.
I had a new, we're having a new Baal Tekeh, Meshul, so he came today to blow for me. So I was listening. I told him, I said, I thought the shvarim were a little too long. I said, maybe we can shorten down the shvarim. And I told him, I said, when you blow in shul, I'm going to cut down your tekeh much shorter. He said, why? I said, because we'll see tonight that there's a reason that it's not good to have very long tekeis, because you can get yourself into trouble. I said, you're going to blow yourself out. It's like, you know, the pitcher. He's going to be done. I don't have a relief pitcher. I can't go to the bullpen. I need you to make it through 9 innings. They say, you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. You really got to make it through. So that's what we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things that the Makra. So here, so David walked in at a great time. Here we're talking about all the chashivas that the Baal Makra has and all the criteria he needs to have to be the Baal Makra. So there's an emphasis in Halacha, both the Makra and the Baal Tekeh should be, again, the pashtus is not reason why the makre shouldn't have to be 30, the makre shouldn't have to be married. Maybe the Baal Tekeah has to be, because if you hold the Baal Tekeah, goes the Fnai Lefnim, maybe you can argue he's like the Kayin Gadol and Yom Kippur. But I find it hard to imagine that the Baal Makre has to have all of those things. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, Miu Kol Yisrael Ksheirim, anyone can do the job. So then the Mat Ephraim writes in number 5, he says, Vamaka Vatakeya, Royu Lahem Shiyumudu Hate Din Hashaifim Seder the Kis. So it's a good thing that the Makra and the Tekeya should learn well the Seder, the Dini Hashaifim Seder at Kis. Kilipom, because sometimes, Me'ezah Siba Noifel Tos Befiya Mikra, Aybe Shigas at Tekeya, either the Makra makes a mistake, but the Baal Tekeah makes a mistake, right? Either one. If you don't know what to do, do you go back to the beginning of the set? Do you blow over again? Say, Yitzav Cholav Beis HaMedesh is going to be screaming in the shul. The rush brings down a story like that, where there was no rules, you know, no one was calling the shots. It was like a free for all. Every guy, you know that. We'll talk about that also. They're not talking during Chazaras HaShatz. It messes everyone up. And therefore, you should have someone who calls the shots. He makes the decisions, and that's the way it goes. Usually, where there's an avbezdin or there's a rav, he's usually the makir. A lot of shuls, the rav likes to be the Baal Tekeah, so then they give it to the next most chashiv member in the shul. Okay, that's how it works in many places. Now, there is an interesting shayla that should never be negated to anyone. What happens if the Baal Tekeah is an oval? We spoke last week. What happens if the Baal Tefillah is an oval? So what's wrong with the Baal Tekeah being an oval? So it's actually a fascinating svar that Eliyahu Rabbah writes. We don't want a Baal Tekeah who's an oval because we're afraid. Listen to this. It's unbelievable. We're afraid because of his avelus, he might not do a good job. He'll be so, you know, middle of it, we'll just hit him. I lost a family member. It will partially affect his ability to do the job of blowing the shofar. That's why we don't want a oval to blow shofar. So the Mat Ephraim writes, number 6. You should not hire a oval during either 30 days for a regular relative or a year for a parent to be a Baal Tekeah. He writes, We learned last week such a svar that if you've been doing the job for many years, then you still get to do it. Or you're very good. Right? If a person's very good, so that's usually the answer. They say, listen, we can't find a Baal Tekeya as good as our Baal Tekeya, so he gets to keep the job even while he's in Avelis. Okay, so this is a little bit what we were supposed to get to last week, which we didn't do, is some of the significance, the hakpada of who should be the Baal Tekeya and who should be the Baal Makre. Now, it's interesting, when do we blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So we blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah after Shachris. So the Gemara has actually a very interesting discussion over here. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, I apologize, I didn't write down the daf. When I made the Maamar Kamei sheet, I said I have to write down the daf before I send out the copies, and of course I forgot. So I believe it's Lamed Beis, Amid Beis in Rosh Hashanah, towards the end of the fourth perek, but I could be wrong, but I believe it's Lamed Beis, Amid Beis in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says like this, Ha'ivel if ne'atevim yomtev shal Rosh Hashanah, he who davened for the Amid on Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni maskia. So by Musaf you blow Shofar. Ubishas halal harishin makras halal, and bishas halal the first one reads the halal. So if you remember, many years ago, but quite some time ago, we had a shir about saying halal on Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday morning. Probably at least 5 years ago. You can probably somewhere in the archives of Y Torah. But we spoke about that. This mission is not what we do. We don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah. We know the famous Gemara. Sifre Chaim is Sifre Mesim Suchim Lefanecha Eichem Shiro. So the Gemara has a whole explanation what this line in the Mishnah means. But we need the Gemara. The Gemara says Ma'ishno Sheini Maskia. What's pshat that we blow Shofar by Musaf? It's a great question. Come to Rosh Hashanah. You think about it. Shofar is the mitzvah sayim of Rosh Hashanah. Even though this is something that I like to talk about. That if you look in the Chumash, we'll talk a little bit about this on Sunday morning. There's no mention of the godless of Rosh Hashanah in the Torah Shebiksav. There's barely a mention of Shofar in the Torah Shebiksav on Rosh Hashanah. There's not even a mention to blow a Shofar. It says you should have a Truah, and we have a Drusha. What?
Doesn't the Pasuk say Yom Truah?
Yeah, it doesn't say with the Shofar. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, so they, I don't know, Chatzoitzrois, I don't know. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Taka has a Drusha. How we know it's a Shofar? We learn from Yovel. It's an amazing thing. We have so much upla about Rosh Hashanah, not in Torah Shebiksav. All it says in the Chumash is Yom Zichron Truya, Yom Truya, or Yom Zichron Truya to Psukim, Yom Truya Lechem. End of story. That's the whole shebang of Rosh Hashanah. So it's, a lot of it's drushes, Yud Gimel Midas. A lot of Yud Gimel Midas that get us. We did discuss this, I think, 2 years ago, how we get to the 100 Kailas, and how do we get to Tashrat, and the Tashat, all that we discussed in previous years. It's just a fascinating thing that why the Torah did it that way. But in any case, so when should you blow Shofar? So Shofar is a mitzvah deraisa, which we only get to do once a year. It's a very special mitzvah, right? You know, I had the Baal Tekeya to meet by me today. So I said, did you learn all the kavanas of the mitzvah? He's a real litvish guy. He told me, no. I said, don't feel bad, I don't know them either. So we're, you know, we're on the same page. I mean, Dave, you probably know the kavanas. At the Makri, you're supposed to know the kavanas of all the tkiyas. So if you look at Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he gives you like a more of an understandable mahalach of what the kavanas are, what the tkiyas are supposed to represent, the Shram True is supposed to represent. It's a little bit beyond my understanding, but real Baal Tekeya, people with, you know, real Yerushalayim, I think they taka know what all these things mean. Not that my Baal Tekeya is not. But those people who study these things thoroughly, they know that the Tekeya is supposed to mean this and the Shvam is supposed to accomplish that. I think the Litvish answer is you're supposed to know you have to be mitzvah to people, like the Mishnah Berurah says. You gotta know you're doing a mitzvah and you gotta have a mind to be mitzvah to people, and that's Me'ikar Adin. So the question is,
in the Jewish press, they had a famous story in the Jewish press that they were interviewing also about the Tekeya. So there was a very firm call, and they asked him, what are you thinking about doing the tzkiyas? And this guy was saying, thinking about the shibur tzkiyas, this one was saying, thinking about, like, you know, Kaddish Baruch Hu, this one. Guy says, listen, I've got 5 kids, and then I'm married. I've got to go ahead and pray that Kaddish Baruch Hu, that I'll have parnasa to be able to marry them, and they'll get, you know, fine tummy days will come. They said, you're the guy we wanted.
That's right. Is that best way to come up? Yeah, 100%. Here, Ron. Yeah. Shady means Musaf, by Musaf. Yeah, Sheni means Musaf. So the Gemara over here talks in contrast Shachris to Rishon and Shachris, and Sheni is Musaf. So the Gemara has a kasha. Ma'ishno Sheni Maskia. Why do we blow Shofar by Musaf? So the Gemara says Mishum Debiroi V'Amhadras Melech. You think people show up late to Shul today only? People show up late to Shul at times of the Gemara also. People used to show up late to the Gemara then also. So the Gemara in Gemara Megillah says, why do people show up late to Shul on Yom Tov? Because in Yom Tov you're allowed to cook. So they were cooking, they were helping prepare. So the famous of Yaakov Emden that. Rabbi Yair Hoffman made this very famous in one of his articles. Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks, so what? Are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? The men don't cook. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden was married 3 times. So he knows. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what are you talking about? The men don't cook. But if the women are going to cook, who's going to hold the baby while the wife cooks? So I always say, you can't judge a guy who comes late to shul on Yom Tov. He might have been helping out. I always say you can't judge a young father if he comes late Shabbos or Yom Tov. You don't know what's going on. There might have been a baby crying or this, that, and the other. He might have been preoccupied. So people used to come late to Musaf also.
Have to do with,
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. So here the Gemara says, because Rav Amad is Melech. So for the Gemara, Yachi Halal Nami Neima B'Sheini. So why don't we say Halal by Musav also to have a better attendance? B'Shem the Rav Amad is Melech, because Rav Amad is Melech. El Maishno Halal the B'Rishim B'Shem Zvizim Akdimim. The Gemara switches it. The Gemara says, no. He's supposed to say Halal by Shachar's because Zvizim Akdimim. So for the Gemara, T'kiya Nami Na'avid B'Rishim B'Shem Zvizim Akdimim L'Mitzvah. So this Gemara is actually very, very important. This is Shaila, what trumps what? Let's say, for example, you have a mitzvah to do. If you do it earlier, it will be Zvizim Akdimin. If you do it later, it will be Berev Amhadris Melech. Which one wins? Let's say, for example, a pigeon aben. If I make a pigeon aben first thing in the morning, what's going to happen? It's not going to be Berev Amhadris Melech, right? It's going to be Zvizim Akdimin mitzvah, but it won't be Berev Amhadris Melech. If I make it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll have every cousin under the sun showing up there, but it's just not Zvizim Akdimin. So this Gemara is a very important sugya to figure out which one beats out what. But the Gemara says it's not a gate to us, because Amr Rabbi Yechinon b'shaz gzeres ha-malchus shanu. This Mishnah that says you blow shofar by Musaf is because there's a gzeres ha-malchus. What's a gzeres ha-malchus? Dr. Rashi. Number 8. Oyevim goes with the goyim had a gzeres le-yitaku, that the Jews shouldn't blow shofar, for you orvim lahem kol shei shois le-keitz til ha-shachos le-kach evi le-tkai b'musaf. So the goyim forbade us to blow shofar in the morning, so we have to wait until Musaf. So what's the obvious kasha? So now, Baruch Hashem, the goyim don't bother us so much. Let's go back to blowing shofar at 9 o'clock in the morning. So Tosfos writes over here, the Alpha Pisha bought the Xeris Amalchus, Lo Yavdin and Kimi Ko. We don't go back to the old style. Alpha Kavdin Zizim Akdin Lemitzah. Even though going back to the old style would be a mile of his reason. Says Tosfos, Dechashin and Shemayach Zedovel Kukulay. We're afraid things may go back to the way they used to be. We blow at the beginning of Shachris. You know, before Shachris. We call Shafir right away, 8 o'clock in the morning. So this Tosfos, I think, is a shtickle right to something Rabbi Yashiv writes. We spoke about this many times. When it comes to Hanukkah time, so there's always a question, where should you light the menorah? You light the menorah inside, you light the menorah outside. So we often make the argument here that in most of our communities, it's very safe. The guy are not going to bother us, so we should light the menorah outside. So Rabbi Yashiv passed, no, you don't light the menorah outside. Why? He said, because of gzeiros of the Goyim. So someone said to him, but Goyim don't bother us here. So Rabbi Yashiv said, no, Shem Yachzu Dov L'Kukulei. Who knows? Maybe the Goyim will start to bother us again. So his mom's like this Tosfos. You see that even though the mitzvah is supposed to be done a certain way, but if you're afraid that maybe things will change and culture will warrant that you can't do it, so all those years, again, Baruch Hashem, since the times of, we haven't had problems really, right? There hasn't been problems with blowing shofar in the morning versus the afternoon, but all of Klai will blow shofar by Musaf. Yeah.
I know I can't
really
miss it, but isn't the whole thing that we also have to blow up by Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars, and that's
it? Oh, very good. Very good. So this is a punk. Just heard this on a shef from Rehershel Shechti yesterday. This kasha. This is what are you talking about? What do you mean? How could the Gemara have me to blow Shachris if you have to blow? If you hold it, Kiyas al Seder Habrachas is the Reis, which is a big Machlokes Rishonim. So how does this Gemara make any sense? So he's mitzayin to the famous Baal Amor. The Baal Amor, first of all, the Baal Amor held that we say Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars every tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. So he wants to grab it. So if Shachta wants to say in the Gemara is like this, that you taka, whichever tefillah you have the shofar, you taka put in Malchus, Zecharonis, and Shofars. So in the Havamin of the Gemara,
that you do it by Shachris?
And male, if we would have been blowing shofar by Shachris, we taka say Malchus, Zecharonis, and Shofars by Shachris. That's how he wants to learn this Gemara. So if you hold a Malchus, a Seder, that Kiyas ala Brachas is Dairaisa, or even if it's not the rice, it's important, so then you'd have to learn this Gemara that by Shachos we taka would have said Machiz or Horizon Shifers. And the Baal Amor taka says that they used to say it by all the tefillahs. You have to inject.
That's really a little bit more complicated.
Right, again, he's just saying that if we would have been, it's only because we're used to it the other way. If things would have been the way they were supposed to be, then the Shachos would look like Musaf.
Right.
That's just the way things would play out.
Yeah,
that's right, right. That's right. But I just thought this was an interesting marimakim. You know, we talk about shofar, I don't know many people stock and realize that taka, why are we blowing so late in the day? It's not because we want to give people time to break a kiddush break, it's because of this gemar. Okay, so what happens after Shachris? So you're not allowed to blow shofar until Shachris. So now what happens after Shachris? So the Matan Ephraim writes, Acha shegomer hachochem divrei kivushim. So this Matan Ephraim, I thought, was the marimakim for rabbis' drushes before shofar. One of the classical speech times that rabbis have to work is usually right before shofar, and kol nidre and yiska. These are all the classical rabbinic slots. So where does it come from to speak before shofar? So it's Mamshe Matan Ephraim. The Matan Ephraim says, Acha shegomer hachochem divrei kivushim. After the chochem, he doesn't call him the rabbi, he says the chochem gives his speech, his his famous drasha. Oymim, what do we do next? So oymim kolatzibur yachat kapitol memzayim betel malseya kolamim tikuchav. So we say that kapitol together. So again, where does it come from to say it? So you ask people this question, they say it's in the machzer. That's it. So before the machzer, you can't argue the before the machzer. Okay.
Doesn't say after the
Hey, I didn't say anything about the Kiddush. We spoke about that many times already. My feelings on the break before Shofar. Again, I find it ironic. The whole reason why it even started to have a break, why people started having Kiddush, was because of a different Matar Ephraim. The Matar Ephraim says,
isn't the whole reason because you're now teed after Chatzai?
Yeah, no, I understand. But if you look at earlier Pesachim, no one even discusses it. Why? Because it never came up. There was never any downtime. You can only talk about Kiddush if there's a break. If you keep on going straight, there's no time to break. So why all of a sudden the people break? Because the Matar Ephraim writes that he's before Shofar, the Baal Tekeah, and the Baal Makor supposed to go to the mikveh. Okay, shine a break. And everyone else who's not going to the mikveh should learn Torah. So what are those guys in the back who don't want to learn Torah decided? Kiddush called. That's how it started. So once there's a break in the action, also now you can talk about having a Kiddush. When the day is moving constantly, there's no break, so there's nothing to talk about. But okay. Again, I think I mentioned this last week that everyone blames the yeshivas on the long davening. In the Velozhin Yeshiva on Yom Kippur, they used to have a 3.5-hour break between Musaf and Mincha. Right? So not all yeshivas go slow. Now everyone blames, yeshiva davenings are so long. Depends where you daven. Some yeshivas have a lot, some yeshivas have shorter. Some shuls have long, some shuls are short. It depends. I don't think we can blame any one specific type. The difference is some yeshivas today, Taka start early. When I was in yeshiva, we used to start 7:30 and we were done by 12:30. No break. I think we had a short break for Tehillim. That was it.
I don't know if Ger is still this way, but Ger and his soul was very clean.
Yeah, that old
your
school.
Your mom used to daven the whole thing Roshana under 3 hours.
The old school, they wanted to have time to learn. Again, today, we spoke about this last week, today everything is a concert. So the chazan that you're paying a lot of money for, you want him to perform. So he's got to sing every song and every part of davening. So, and you sell the aliyahs, everything takes time. Okay, so the Matar Ephraim says, after the rabbi gives a drasha, you say this kapitel. There's a little bit of a discussion. You say this kapitel 7 times. Everyone knows you say it 7 times. I have a fellow in my shul, a wonderful fellow. He's an accountant. He's mamish counting to make sure I get it right. If we don't get it 7 times, we had 1 year Matzah Yom Kippur. So when Yom Kippur ends, you say Hashem Olakim. So he was taki counting. It was like, who's counting Matzah Yom Kippur? And he chapped that we didn't say it enough times. Only an accountant would catch such a mistake. We didn't say Hashem Olakim enough times. He's counting there with his fingers. Okay, he's right. The minute gets to say it 7 times. Okay, so the Yekas don't say it. So we'll see in a second.
By the way, where did they come up with this thing of 7 times?
So they try to be masber that it says the word Elikim. So Elikim 7 times, 7 times 7, some cheshbon 49, the 49 rikia, something along those lines. Ayin sham barichas. Now, the truth is, it's interesting. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he's not such a big fan of this tefillah. He writes like this. He says, "V'aminig loy me'mizbo kol ha'amim tigu chav sheva pa'amim koid matkiyas." He writes, "V'yesh me'ami oretz she'kishaloy yishlimu zayin pa'amim oimim beis atkiyas." You have Amaratzim who don't realize. They say, it's a din, I gotta say it. So the guy's in the middle blowing shofar, you're not listening to the shofar, you're saying you're 7 times. He writes, "V'tzarech le'adiyah lehem she'asur la'zayis kein." So you have to tell the people that you're not allowed to do that. "U'muchuyovim l'shmei atkiyas." You gotta listen to the kiyas. "V'loy loymar shum dover beis atkiyas." You should not be saying anything when the shofar is actually being blown. "Ki la'al lam natzeach ein medina." Because this lam natzeach is not an obligatory thing, it's a nice thing, it's a Matar Ephraim. But it's not more important than hearing the shofar. And he says some people don't say it at all because of this problem, because people are not going to stop at the timeline, so they skip the whole thing. They don't say the whole Lam Natzeh. Who was a proponent of not saying Lam Natzeh? The Vilna Goin. Number 12, Zok the Goin in Maise Rav. He did not say anything before Shaif. Why? So on the footnote they say why? Because that's Rabbeinu Shein Lohisiv Amir Mizmar and Betzibur. The Vilna Goin wasn't a big proponent of adding on new tefillos at Betzibur unless there's actually a makar for them. The Matar Ephraim was not much of a makar. He was around the same time as the goyin. V'zeo gam tam min hogoi kan shloi loimar mizmarim koyin b'kevshet. And that's the reason here also. Not because, like the Aruch HaShulchan said, the reason why we stopped doing it was because people were botching the halacha. They thought this tefillah is more important than hearing the shofar. But the Vilna Goin, stamas, they thought that there's no makar for it. Since there's no makar, we don't say additional tefillah. So he's saying the Yekis don't say it at all. Okay, there you go. The Yekis don't say it. But the Yekis start very early, Rosh Hashanah, right? In Broyers, they start very early. I think in Broyers, they start very early. And they finish pretty early also.
They don't go there Yom Kippur, though. They start at 6:30, and there's no break.
Yom Kippur's long. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
There is no break.
But Rosh Hashanah, they have a break. Rosh Hashanah, they don't finish so late.
I've never been there for Rosh Hashanah.
I think Rosh Hashanah, they finish their real time. They start early, finish it. Okay. So if you look at the Matar Ephraim, he brings down another practice. He writes that what happens after. So again, what happens after the Lam Natzeach? So the Matar Ephraim writes, then you have another tefillah that the Baal Tekeah says privately. He says the Makor and the Tekeah say Min Hametzer. Now today we don't do it that way. Today the Baal Tekeah says it. This is interesting. The yomer hatakei balachash bepe mole. The tekeya is supposed to say outwardly. Hareini mechavim betkias elu she'etokei lohoitis atzibu dei choivas shmias kolshev. The Baal Tekeya is supposed to verbally say, I've never seen this either. Again, the Baal Tekeya should think it, but I never hear. He says, verbally express that I want to be, might see the people there, chayva. Now, every shul knows that Gavi makes a clap. He says, everyone should have a mind, this and that. But here he writes, Bepe Moli, the Baal Tekeya is supposed to say it. And then he ends off with another practice, which is widely done today. V'nogum lechasos ha-shofer b'mapa prus al ha-shocha. The practice today is that we cover the shofer. We cover the shofar. Some people are makpid to cover the shofar always, even bein hastarim. The mamish, the shofar is always covered unless you take it out to blow. The rest of it is always covered. Why? So they all mutcha to try to figure out reasons. Why should you cover the shofar? They all kind of come up with, to me, a little stretched reasons to why you're supposed to cover it. But lamaisa, this is, I think, also a practice that we cover it. The problem is, how do you make the bracha on the shofar? You're going to make the bracha on the shofar, it's tucked under your towel, and you pull it out and make the bracha. We have a rule, you're supposed to make a bracha, you're supposed to hold on to it, you're supposed to have it in your hand, you don't want to have six. So how does that work?
So either way, the bracha is mishmua kol shofar. So who says you have to hold it? You can leave it down, it doesn't make a difference. The whole mitzvah is to hear it. Normally, the other thing, it's the lekicha, that's it, like by the lulav and etzrik, it's the taking, this is the...
So, Mr. Hashem, this Sunday morning, we're going to debunk that theory, maybe.
We don't know.
That's Sunday morning share.
That's all right.
That's the whole Sunday morning share. That's definitely in the right direction that we're going to talk about. The dead giveaway to that question is what? Is it the tkiya or is it the shmi? What's the dead giveaway answer?
The bracha.
Now, we'll see, that's not a dead giveaway anyways, but we'll talk about that. Who says he's supposed to say l'shmaya kol shofar? Maybe he's supposed to say l'tkiya shofar. The truth is, Shulchan Aruch says that way. We'll talk about it Mitzvah Sunday. A lot to talk about on that topic as well. But yeah, you're right. In theory, if that's the lumdis, but again, the pashtus is, without giving away the whole shir, it's a combo of Shmi and Tkir. Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the shofar still chefs the shul mitzvah. Right? There's rules. You can't blow it. The shofar has to have rules to it. Yeah, the shofar has to look this way, that way. It can't be made from this thing, that thing. If the whole mitzvah was just a Shmi, who cares about the chefs of the mitzvah? We still care about the chavetz shalmitz. Okay, and I really don't want to give away the whole share. I just want to whet people's appetite to want to come Sunday morning. Okay, so how do you do it? So again, you have most people have like the talis bag that covers the shofar. Just on a side note, I asked this to my Baal Tekeya. I said, "How many shofars do you have?" He told me he has one. He's like, "Do you want me to buy more?" I said, "Not particularly. As long as you can blow that one, I'm happy." The reason why I asked him that is because Mr. Brewer writes, "Let's say you have a shofar." And you make the bracha, you start blowing, and it doesn't go. So now you need to bring in a new shofar. So Mr. Brewer says, depends. If the new shofar was in the shul at the time of the bracha, you don't have to make a new bracha. But if you go across the street and bring in the shofar here, then you have to make a new bracha. So I told him, I said, I don't care how many shofars you use. Because I want them all in shul when you make the bracha. Let's say the bracha is going on all the shofars, you don't have to get a new shofar. So that's what Mr. Brewer says.
The fact that one's covered and one's not, would that mean?
No, that wouldn't affect the bracha. That would be against this minig of trying to keep it covered. You put them all under. I've seen guys. So I had this maisa my first year as a rabbi, my first Rosh Hashanah. So we had a Baal Tekeya, a wonderful guy. He blew the first 30 kailas. After the first 30 kailas, he realized there was a huge Q-tip in the shofar.
It was what?
Q-tip. A huge Q-tip that they have to clean out the shofar. It was lodged into the shofar. So I asked him. I asked him afterwards. I said, "Was it ma'akiv? Did it change the sound of the shofar?" He said, "Changed." He said, "It was the best kailas I ever blew." I said, "Oh, you vet." So the shailas, it's very hard to ask a shail on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. Who do you go to? So what I did was, I told them, I think let's just blow a 30 kailas at the end, just to be yoytza alashita. So then after Rosh Hashanah, I sent the shail to all the rabbanim. I think I must have got 5 different answers from 5 different rabbanim. Some said it was good. Some said it was no good. Some said blowing 30 kails at the end was a bad idea. Some said it was a good idea.
But he's blowing mea kails anyway.
That's right. No, so I think someone wanted to tie it to me.
But the other 70, without the
I thought they all sounded the same to me. The Baal Tekeya told me they sounded better. But I thought it was funny because some Rav told me that he thinks it was a hefsik from the bracha to the 30. So this was the first 30. So if those were no good, so then there was a big hefsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. I didn't think they were no good. I thought they were. So one Rav told me, try it out. Go home now. Put, stick it in. See, it was one of those huge ones. I never, I don't know, it must be especially made for
is it maybe a Sephardi shofar with the whole, no, you know, the 3 feet long?
No, but I never saw such a big Q-tip like that. A long one. So they can, exactly right. Now they're familiar to us.
Yeah.
So I think I sent the Shaila to, Shai to ask his father, and I think he said it was fine. That's what I thought also. I think that was, I think most Rabbanim told me, one Rav told me he thought it was a real problem.
Well, we moved it after that, right?
So we took it out after the 30 cows, and we blew the rest 70, yeah. And then we blew another afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do you tell the tzibur? You have to be careful what you tell your kehillah. You don't want to tell them that the first 30 were questionable. So I told, I made a clap, I said, Avada, I think the first 30 were fine. But we want to be extra careful. It's Rosh Hashanah, we have some women that didn't hear yet.
Did you tell them that there was a Q-tip in that?
Everyone saw it. It wasn't like, yeah, oh, you never saw people's eyes pop out before when this happened. It was like,
where did the Q-tip pop out?
Yeah, he's like, popped under the beamer. Everyone, it was intro to Rabbanus 101. Okay, but so now I'm very macron on that. So Taka, when this guy showed me his shofar, he had like a tzitzit string in there. I said, oh no, again, the guy stopped putting stuff in the shofar.
Today's
guy. I said, leave the shofar empty. We mentioned this a shalom. The place can talk about it. We didn't talk about this here, but if a person wants to, you put water in the shofar to make it clearer.
Right.
So Mr. Bruce said, don't put urine in there. That's disgusting. That you shouldn't do. But
a lot of the old time Balti Kei is used to soak them in vinegar for
vinegar.
The whole day.
That's what Mr. Bruce says. There are muscles, though. Don't put it into urine. That's just repulsive.
But you're allowed to type it
put it in water, and yeah, those things
no,
are
allowed. In vinegar, that's fine.
I would think so. I don't see what I clean it out well. Again, you don't want anything left
in
it.
I know it sounded good, but then again, I was a kid, so everything.
Yeah, I remember people clearing it out. I remember old Balti used to shake it out. The saliva gets in there, yeah. So they hold it, they blow out of the other side. I've seen that, all the different tricks, but. Okay, whatever. Okay. If it's mishana, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The only case in Shulchan Aruch was if it's mishana the sound of it. I didn't think it changed the sound too much. But the shadows, other than that, so someone found me a psak from Rebbe Yashiv, a story where a bug crawled into the shofar. So a big bug crawled into the shofar. And Rebbe Yashiv said that was okay. So this guy wanted to tell you that's the same thing here also. What's there's a bug in that? I don't know. I think at the end of the day, I think it was okay. But so back to shofar. So how do you hold the shofar to make the bracha? So what do you have? You have the shofar sitting over here. So you make the bracha what? You make the bracha holding your hands, and then you take the shofar and you blow it. What
Why
do you
can't
do?
You put your hand on there?
Oh, so the matter. So I quoted over here from the Sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag by Rav Moshe Karp from Eretz Yisrael, where he quotes over here from the Yavid. From the Yavitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he writes, "This is what most people, I think, do: is that they have their hand tucked under the covering and they hold on to the shofar with the hand and they pull it out and they blow the shofar because you want to have when you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you're supposed to hold it. So let's say you make a bracha on anything, you're supposed to hold it. That's always the shaila with the little dresser. You can hold it. How do you hold it? You're ready to be kind of mitzvah. So I think this is what most people do. So if you're watching the shofar and you're wondering why the Baal Tekeah is not holding it like this, it's because of this." Not to fry.
It
should be like this.
You said that even after you make the Borei Meresh, the Bessam, you're holding both even afterwards.
Because you're Chavivus.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, again, I think some people, when it comes to the Shofar, they mamish have it covered, the whole Chazar Sashatz, until they need it. It's tucked away, covered, as he's makbel like that. Yeah, I think a lot of people are makbel like that.
And I guess this whole thing depends on the Sunday morning shir. In other words, if you hold it, you don't have to, if the whole thing's on the Shmir, then you don't have to touch it at all. Am I right?
Again, well,
because in other words, it's only like the Hecha Timsa thing.
But again, you can't, see, the problem is you're going to go that route, you're going to get yourself into trouble because, so then, why is there any significance at all given to the shofar?
Because you've got to make the sound, it's got to come from something.
So, so that's the question. Does it still have is there still some Kedusha Sachevtsa of the shofar because it produces the Shmir?
Well, let me ask you this, when you're done with the shofar, could you toss it out in the garbage, you got to bury it, whatever?
No, it's like any other Tashmishi Mitzvah.
What?
It's like any other Tashmishi Mitzvah, it's like your Lulav.
So you can toss it out, wrap it up nicely.
Put it in a bag nicely. Yeah, it's like any other tashmishi. Uh-huh. It's tashmishi mitzvah, not tashmishi kedusha.
It's not tashmishi.
No, it's tashmishi mitzvah. So this is.
Do we know as far away when the Baal Tekeah makes the broth and then he has the shofar covered?
No, the svar is that the shofar should always be covered. I forgot. They say a svar. I don't remember what it is. Something connected to. I forgot already. I don't remember. They say a svar, but many achrayim are more like mehechates is such a svara versus the regular rules that we have for berachas hamitzvah. So this in Ma'idim Uzman, Moshe Sternbach has a kuntris in Chelik Aleph where he goes through like a recap of major halachas for tekiyah shofar. I picked out one which I think is very important because I think a lot of people are not careful with. He writes like this: mitzvahs tekiyas ein mekaymin rakish shoyim and hakoyel meroish v'adasayif. In order to be yukayim mitzvah shofar, you have to hear the entire sound from beginning to end. Right? So what happens very often is the Baal Tekeh blows very long tekeahs. So we, most of us, because we have attention spans that are very short, we space out after 3 seconds, 4 seconds, which is probably long enough to be a tekeah. It's probably good enough to be a tekeah. But he has a chiddush based on a Ramah that you're not yotze. If you space out in the middle of the sound, no good. Even if you heard enough sound that the Baal Tekeah would have stopped, that would have been good enough. But since the guy's going extra long, you're not yotze. He writes like this: Mitzvah tekiyas ein mikayim rakish shoyim and akoyim roish v'adasay, beginning till the end. V'afilu shoma kishir tekiyah, even if you heard enough, which is good enough to be a valid tekiyah, ein a yotze at shoma hasoif mamish. You have to hear the end of it. V'hakohol ein medaktikim klal bazen. The velt is not makpid. A lot of people, they're running to get to the Hiratzen. So as long as they heard enough, they start saying the Hiratzen already. They don't wait till the end. When you have a very long tekiah at the end of each one of the sets, at the end of the miyushev, at the end of the moment, so you blow tekiah gedolah. So you got to tell people that. This is why I don't like having long tekiahs. You're going to blow extra long. Let's say you have a tashrat. So how long does the Tashrat, Kiev Tashrat, really have to be? So as long as the Shvarim Tshuva is. How long does the Shvarim Tshuva have to be? So the Mr. Baruch says it's 18 Koiches. How long are 18 Koiches? Okay, that's the discussion. So I hold it's somewhere between 3 and 4 seconds. 3.5 to 4 seconds. That's how long the Tkiyah has to be. So you're going to blow 6 seconds. So after that, people are going to stop listening. And then first of all, you're going to blow the Baal Tekeah. He's going to blow himself out. He's going to wear himself out. And you're going to have every extra second. Right? You appreciate how long a second is when you're timing it on your watch to figure out how long the tekiahs are supposed to be. You have no appreciation for how long a second really is, right? So there, I'm always afraid that if I go extra, people will stop listening. Not on purpose necessarily. Just, you know, we have an attention problem in our society. I'll be the first one to admit it, right? So I'm afraid if I go extra longer, the guy's not going to, people are not going to listen. So I'm worried about this chumra over here. So he writes, V'hamakru kishim margishim miyeru miktsosim v'loshomu arasayif, v'alkein lo yotsu b'tkiyir shalachra. Yirmoz l'tekeir l'arzul l'tkiyir shalachna davki. He says, no, he should have to blow it over again. He says, if you notice that, let's say, for example, you're looking around, and when you do the last... You do the last tekiah at the end of the set. Then the people say the yirutzen. And you heard or you notice that while the guy's still blowing, they're all saying yirutzen. And he goes, no, you got to re-blow that tekiah. Because that tekiah was no good. Okay? I don't know. Yeah. I would just keep the tekiah shorter, personally. But that's what I would do. Now, where does this come from? So one of the mekayrus from this is a darkei moishim. The Ramah writes from the Maril. The tzarech l'shmoya lizoi. You have to be careful to hear. So yafzik klal toich hatekiah. There should be no interruptions. You should not break the sound. Afilu kicha v'niyah. Even coughing and mucus. Right? It's hard to control that. You have babies crying. You have people making noises. The police can talk about traffic outside. Right? You can't always control everything. Someone was telling me that in Eretz Yisrael, in one of the Batei Midrashim, they're very makbid. They close all the windows. They don't have air conditioning on because they're worried about generator issues or whatever. And they close all the windows for shofar. Because they don't want any outside noises, nothing shush there. No outside noise, no noise. Everyone walks around. Yeah, but you got to walk around like, you know, on eggshells. Okay. The mice said today, shuls are very noisy, so you got to be careful not to make any noise. Alto Mignon, especially the five times, you have a real problem because you have the planes. Yeah. The planes can really be a problem, yeah?
Planes, trains.
Right, all that fun stuff. He writes, "V'asa loruk, you're not allowed to spit." V'la yafsik mishmaya debina roishli v'soyfish are called tkiya v'tkiya. You got to hear the beginning and the end. L'chein yizor malechol dvar ma'mevim dekichav. That's why you should not eat food that causes you to have a lot of mucus and phlegm, and that's the real reason behind the minig. Not so much about the gematria, right? Not because of so much of the gematria, but more because of the mucus and saliva that it produces. So this is the makar for this halacha from Rav Moshe Sternbach. You should really be careful. So you should either have shorter tekiahs or give people more attention span to listen to the entire tekiah. The Mat Ephraim writes over here an interesting meaning in number 17. He says, "Af mishe in a tovel atzma kaidim atkiyah." So we mentioned earlier, a lot of people, or at least the Baal Tekeah and the Makra, a lot of them take a break. They sneak out. They go to the mikveh before shofar. Okay, some people do that. But he writes, even if you don't do that, yeshu li'tayod, you should at least wash your hands. Me'achas shesh hefsek rav bein tefilah shachrus atkiyah. There was a long break between shachrus and the shofar. V'yishma yodav so yagam akam etunav yalal atil tzias musav. Then you should keep your hands good for musav also. You want, there's an Indian to wash your hands before you do a mitzvah. Mr. Brewer brings down, you should wash your hands before you do bidikas chametz. So before a person does a mitzvah, he should wash his hands. So many people say, before you blow shofar, you should wash your hands also. So I guess after you have the kiddush, if you have some herring left on your hands, it's good to wash it off anyways. We spoke about this topic, I don't remember how many years ago, We discussed the two different versions of when to blow shofar. Do you blow shofar in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei? Do you blow shofar in the loud Shemoneh, in the Chazaras HaShatz? It's found in Rishonim both ways. So the Matifarim discussed an interesting shiloh. He said like this. What happened? This happens very often if you daven Nusach Sfar. But it really could happen if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, also if you daven very, very slow and the shul daven is very fast. What happens if you're in the middle of the quiet Shemoneh Esrei and they're blowing shofar? What do you do? So the Matifarim writes, when they blow shofar, so the first chiddush, he says, you're supposed to say Hayoyim Aras Oilom even in your quiet Shemoneh Esrei. We don't say the second piece of Areshes Sefaseinu. You don't say that in your quiet Shemoneh Esrei. If you take a look at 18b in the left corner, he quotes from the Marsham, that the Marsham says, why not? He says, Ayin Bagos, this is not the Matafraim. The Matafraim didn't quote the Marsham, because Marsham lived after the Matafraim already died. This is on one of the footnotes in the Matafraim. They quote from this Marsham. That Marsham says, no, not so fast. He says, why shouldn't you say Areshes Sefaseinu even in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei? But he concludes, Umani Genu Shleil Omri Kedivya Haravka. Lamaisa, if you look in the Machzer, at least I looked in Archko Machzer, there is no Areshes Sefaseinu by the quiet Shemoneh Esrei. Even though we say Hayyim Arois, we don't say Areshes. And they try to figure out, well, what's the difference? If you got to say one, say the other. Lamaisa, the halach is we don't say it in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, only Hayyim Arois.
So this is saying that if you're not up to
them. No, so this is talking about what you're up to them. So this is, you hit a Shafer, and after Shafer, I mean, the Chiddush is Hayyim Arois is a Hefsik. What does that have to do with the quiet Shemoneh Esrei? The answer is it's not a hefsek. But Areshes Sefaseinu is a hefsek. So that's why we only say Hayyim and not Areshes. Now, what happens if you're not up to the yet? Says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Matafar number 18. Let's say you're ahead of the Tzibur. Let's say you're ahead of everyone else. So when you get to Malchus, you have to stop. Right? You gotta wait till the Bol Shaif. I think we mentioned this 2 years ago. There was a minority opinion that used to hold that the Baal Makri should actually call out in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei to the Baal Tekeh. I'm unaware of any community that actually does that, but there was such a discussion amongst Paiskim that maybe that's also mutter, but it's not usually done. Now, what happens, says Mount Ephraim, what happens if you're slower than the shul? Right? So the shul is about to blow Malchus. You're not up to Malchus yet. So then the Mount Ephraim says, what do you do then? Then you should stop whatever you're up to and listen. And you're not allowed to say Hayyim Aras Olam wherever you're up to. Then you have to wait until you actually finish say the Malchus, and then you'll say Hayyim Aras Olam. Now it's interesting, when I read this Mat Ephraim,
I mean, that is when you normally say it. You always say it after.
But normally you say it after you hear Shofar.
Right.
But this guy is hearing Shofar in the middle of Malchus. So he's not going to say Hayyim Aras Olam then.
Right, so when should he say?
When he finishes Malchus.
He stops till.
Again, he stops, he's in the middle of Malchus. He stops to hear the Shofar. He does not say Hayyim Aras Olam then, like everyone else is, because he's not up to there. Then he finishes Malchus, he says Hayyim Aras Olam there.
Isn't the whole Hayyim Aras Olam going on the Shofar blowing?
It is.
He heard that 10 minutes.
It is, but he can't, it's the middle of Malchus. Now, I thought when I read this Mat Ephraim,
leave it out. What's the yichus of saying it? Leave it out.
No, because it was Nesakin to be said at each of Malchus, Zecharias, and Shofar, I guess. When I read this Mat Ephraim, I thought this Mat Ephraim meant no matter where you're up to in Shemoneh Esrei. So again, I was listening to a Shofar of Shechta on the way up here, and he said, no, he thinks that's only if you're in Malchus, but not at the end of Malchus. Let's say you're really slow. You're in the middle of Ovis. He thought in the middle of Ovis, you're not even allowed to stop to listen to the Shofar. Because that's totally an unwanted and unwarranted hefsek. The whole Mat Ephraim is I'm in Malchus, but I'm not at the end of Malchus. So at least I'm in the ballpark. But if I'm not even in the ballpark, he said, no, in that case, you just keep going. Don't even stop. I don't know. I didn't get that impression when I read the Mat Ephraim, but that's what I heard he said. Okay. So that's halacha number one that you have to be aware. So if you're having a nusach svarad minyan and you're not up to pace, so either you're going to have to wait for them, or you're going to have to stop and listen, and then you'll go further. Now, Shmuel Kamenetsky writes like this in number 19. He says, but...
Well, the language, that's actually... Because when he says that, you'll see my Savior from Malchus, and then that's the problem. And those below you'll see him.
So you're going to see him, right? I guess you're still in Malchus.
Yeah, you're in Malchus.
I just would have thought he just meant Thomas. You're not up today yet. You could be up to anywhere. I guess you want to be really medayik, we'll say, you didn't get to the end of Malchus, but you're still in the beginning of Malchus.
Yeah, you're a real slow down.
Yeah, I guess you're really behind.
Oh, you
start later, right? Come late, whatever. Yeah, and these are people that come and go. You know, you have people that leave. They have stuff that goes on. Okay, so Shmuel Kamenetsky writes the following number 19. He says, "Venira, the mishum in hogush lo tkoye beemtzat fias lachash." Let's say you're davening at a minyan that's not your minog. Right? You're a Nusach Ashkenaz guy, but you find yourself in a shul. You can't always control where you end up davening. So he says, Venir, the Misha, min Hogash, Leilut Kaibit, Emsatz Lachash. Let's say you daven in a Nusach Ashkenaz minion. Venir, Damish, Mispal, Makim Shetta Kaib, Emsatz Lachash. Meaning you're an Ashkenaz guy. But you got stuck in a Nusach Svar minion. So he says, Naki's Loyim, Hayim, Arasalim. He thinks you shouldn't say in the quiet Shemin Esrei.
Even when you're up to
it. Even if you're up to it.
Wow.
Then he goes the other way. He quotes again from Bishmul. Let's go the other way. I'm a Nusach Svard guy, and I find myself in a Nusach Ashkenaz minion. So I, when I finish Malchus, I'm used to saying, Hayyim Arasalim.
Yeah, but as a result of here.
Ah, so he writes, then it's Pashat, Mistavish Layyim Hayyim Arasalim Shman Esrei. The Kivin Shu Betzibur Shein Toikim. He says, no, because it's connected to the Shefer. The Tzibur does not belong to Shefer. In that case, you should not say it. Now there's an interesting machloikis achrayin between the Brisker Rav and the Chazinish. The Brisker Rav had a gevaldik chumra for Rosh Hashanah, which again I know people that are makbar on this. Brisker Rav held that we know that you're supposed to blow shofar al haseder al brachas. Malchi is zecharis and shofars. Therefore, the Brisker Rav held that if you miss any part of Malchi is zecharis and shofars, you're not yoytzet kias al brachas. Therefore, you cannot leave shul or space out or not be focused for any part of Malchi is zecharis and shofars in the Shemana Esrei.
So what happens if you can't go to the bathroom?
Yeah, so according to the Biskrav, you gotta go to the bathroom in the middle of Machas Rechayim Shavis, you got yourself a problem. Now the question is...
You don't say if you do the Tfilas Lachas, so you got it at least in the...
You got something. So you got some. You got epi. You didn't get all of it. You get something. Right, you got the 30 kodesh really before. But you didn't get Ala Brachas. Ala Brachas, right. So the Michas Yisra quotes this Biskrav. He writes that there's a chiddush from the Brisker Rav. Mi pluktas hagoyin maraz av bezin the bris v'hagoyin hachazinish. Heviyum b'seif emayidim uzmanim. I looked up... Yeah, Dayan Weiss.
He quotes the Brisker Rav?
Yeah, he died in 1989.
No, I know when he died.
Oh, it's
the Eid Yeah. It just wasn't usual for him to quote the Brisker Rav.
I don't... Right? And this tshuva he does.
Okay.
He quotes the emayidim uzmanim, which I looked up, I couldn't find. Which is why I quoted him instead of looking at the emayidim uzmanim. I looked up emayidim uzmanim chelik beis, like Amid Yud. Yud v'tezvav, Yudav v'tezvav. It wasn't in my print. Maybe it has a different print. I don't know. So he quotes it. The Brisker Rav held dim loy shoma kol hashmein esri bechazoras hashatz. If you didn't hear all the shmein esri in the chazoras hashatz, loy yotzi dechayvas tkiya shofar al haseder kitikunay. You were not yotze al haseder. No. Kivin shespal imatzi b'til balacha. Since you have, like David was saying, you have the quiet shmein esri. Shayach le tkiya v'yotze. That's good enough. Then that was the machloekas between the Chazanish and the Brisker Rav. So according to the Brisker Rav, it comes out a massive chumra. You got to be careful during Chazaras Hashatz. At least Malchus Chazaras Hashatz is not to leave, not to space out, and not to do anything else. So if you look over here, number 21, Rabbi Salavechik in Nefesh Rav writes, "B'chdei lot says yidei chayves atkir shal aseda brachas be'inyan sheishmo kol atzibas kol abrachas mevi'ishatz." Everyone has to hear all the brachas from the shatz. V'loisagi b'shemei gimel brachas halalu. He says even more than that. Not just you have to hear Malchus, you got to hear the whole Shemana Esrei. You can never go to the bathroom. Not even the first three. V'rabbeinu hoy miyayitz shafilu elu she'ino noigim lamed kol en Rabbi Salavechik used to give a suggestion that even if you don't normally stand for Chazar Hashashat, yidaktiku lasitz kain Rosh Hashanah b'shas tefilas musaf. You should do so on musaf v'yamdu raglei mechaven hasechet. You should actually have your feet together the entire musaf b'chdei she'tztar of tefilas hashatz alem, so you can connect to the tefilas hashatz. So this is a real whopper of a chumra. Your mamash can't move around, can't even walk around. You gotta stand with your feet together the entire Shemana Esrei. It's interesting. I think I mentioned this a couple years ago in the Sefer Nitin Gavriel. So he quotes this Brisker Rav, and then he quotes this halacha, but he says it's in a Sefer Nunhei. He doesn't write on Nefesh Harav. He writes in a Sefer called Nunhei. Who's gonna know what the Sefer Nunhei is? So I know what the Sefer Nunhei is. I know it's Nefesh Harav, but I just found it funny in the footnote. He writes this Brisker Rav, and he says, and the Sefer Nunhei takes it a step further. What's Sefer Nunhei? I suppose what Nunhei is. So Nunhei stands for Nefesh Rav. So Gavriel Tzina thought he was hiding it from us. We know. That's where he's getting it from. So this is an extra chumra that Rabbi Salavechik had, perhaps even over his uncle, that he held that not only do you have to hear the whole Chazar Hashatz, you have to keep your feet together the entire Chazar Hashatz also. The Mechaz Yitzchak, number 22, he brings a raya with a story from the Kotzker. The Kotzker Rebbe, who was the father-in-law of the Avdei Nezer, he has a raya that it's not true. Okay, Ayin Shom was short on time, that the practice is not to be machrim. That's, again, I think most people are not knowing like this Brisker Rav unless you're a Brisker, but there is such a Brisker Chumra out there not to go to the bathroom during Chazar Hashatz. Okay, let's talk about talking during Musaf. You go... You got to balance everything out. If you feel like you have to go to the bathroom, you got to go. There's you got to do. 100%. So I find it ironic, and I finally found someone who says it this year, and made me very happy to see. Right, if you walk into any shul in any community, the quietest time of the year is Musaf by Rosh Hashanah. The shul is unbelievably quiet, and it's a pella because there are other times throughout the year where it's more usher, if that's a word, it's more severe to speak, and people are not makmid. L'moshel during Kaddish. During Kaddish, it's also the Zohar writes Yechayv Misa if you speak during Kaddish.
How about during Mogid of Holz
Friday? I mean, there's, right, there's tons of places throughout the year where the severity is much more, yet for some reason most of Rosh Hashanah the Olam is unbelievably quiet. So I found Rav Pam writes, Rav Pam says, he says most of Rosh Hashanah is going to be a big tefillah on all of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because you see, we know how to keep our mouths shut at one of the Chazaras Hashas. So we got to keep our mouths quiet at all Chazaras Hashas. I don't think most of Rosh Hashanah. And this is a long one, and you're tired, and this, then the other. But Lamaisa, we really should have a whole share in it, but I want to just get through some of the Rosh Hashanah. What exactly is the severity of not talking on Musaf Rosh Hashanah? So I always tell people, let's let everyone know that they're not allowed to talk. This way they'll keep quiet. Now, between me, you, and the lamppost, is it so usher? Probably not. Because Pashtus after either the first 30 Kailas or even after other Kailas, right? But it's good. Let people think they're not allowed to talk. Let them be quiet. It's like one day a year, they don't talk during Chazaras Hashanah. It's already worth it. So let's see the halachas. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 23, the Mechaber writes, right, 2 days. And this year we have 2 days Shofar Takkets. It's a treat. We haven't had this in a few years already. Yeah. We had Shabbos a bunch of weeks. This is a bunch of years. So the Mechaber writes in number 23, Lo yasiach, lo yatakeya, v'lo yatzibur. No one should talk, not about the tekeya, not the tzibur, between the tekeya shem yushuv, the tekeya shem umid. Between the first set of tekeyas, those are called the tekeya shem yushuv. It's ironic. Why are they called tefil shem yushuv? Because you're allowed to sit by them. Everyone in the world stands for them. But technically, you're allowed to sit. Tekiyas the Mu'mid, that's already during Shemana Esrei, Chazaras Hashanah, that's why they call it Tekiyas the Mu'mid. However, it says the Rama, Miu be'inyan ha-Tekiyas va'tefilois, ain't have, let's say you want to talk about tequila, you want to talk about the Tekiyas, let's say you have a shayla about a tequila, you want to discuss with your Baal Tekiyah, or whatever it is, that technically is Letzarech, anything that's Letzarech, that would be Mask. V'imsoch b'dvar b'teilim, let's say you talked idle chat, ain't tzarech la'ach z'lavach, you don't have to make another brach. It goes without saying you shouldn't talk between the bracha and the first kiyah unless it's actually relevant to the tekiyah. So Mishnah Berurah writes over number 24. So he writes, "Ubishas tekiyas atzman pshita da asal asuch." It goes without saying you're not allowed to talk during the shofar. I feel the right because you're not even allowed to spit. Noises, throat, coughing, all these other sounds that people make, it disturbs other people as well. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat Yud Beis, he says, Tkiyas until the end of Tkiyas to Miyoshev, that's the first set of 30. Also, has a feel with tefillas. You're not even allowed to daven. What are these tefillas? We all know if you look in a machzor, you'll see there's a yihiratzan at the end of each of the sedarim, a tarat, tashat, tashrat, there is a yihiratzan to say. So the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't say that in the first set of 30, because it's being mafsik between the end of the mitzvah is the end of the first 30 at least. Therefore the Mishnah Berurah says you should not say it. Other people do say it today, but the Mishnah Berurah says you should not say that.
You don't answer Baruch Hashem because it would be a hefzik.
That's correct.
Oh,
it's not my own thing.
The rabbi is making the bracha, and everybody has to be in mind to be yotu that bracha.
Right.
So I don't say baruch hu shmo because that would be a hefsek, but it's my bracha. If it's my bracha, I don't answer. I'm making my bracha.
Well, it's not mamish my bracha. The other hand, you don't answer baruch hu shmo because it's not necessary. Omen is more necessary. I talk so some places have a chumah that they don't even answer baruch hu baruch shmo during chazos hashatz musaf. That's an unnecessary hefsek, right?
No, there's a Rav Salvech didn't answer baruch hu shmo.
Right.
Oh, you're wrong.
That's a bracha.
Yeah, by us in Yeshiva, by Ma'ariv, the Kaddish before Shmones, we don't say Brichu. We don't have Brichu in the Kaddish, because that's also unnecessary absent. Anything that we can cut out, we try to cut out. So Rabbi Salvechik got another Chumra over here, where he writes, Brosh Hashanah Shechol B'chol, also Hafzik B'in Brichas HaShofar, the Gemar Kolat Kiyas, V'ayom in Hogesh Shal HaGrach, Shal Eloyim HaShum Piyutim. Not only that, listen to this. The Briskers wouldn't say any Piyutim between Tekiyas Dim Yushev and Tekiyas Dim Umid, except even the rabbis who understand the Taikif. They didn't say the Sana Taikif. The only thing they would say was that capital. Because it has a real old Messiah to it. So the Nitzag Avi also Kash on the Reb Chaim. He said, I don't understand this. He quotes it also. He said, I don't understand. If it is a hefsek, then it is a hefsek. If it's not, who cares who wrote the piyut? Okay, I don't think it's such a strong kasha. But in any case, that was the Brisk Malach. They mamish held everything that's not necessary
so
gets cut out.
They don't say anything.
Right. We say it. Right. That's what people do. That's it. The Nusach Svar, the Chassidish, do it a little, say a little bit more. So the big shayla that comes up is, let's say you're not such a brisker, and you go to the bathroom during Chazar Shachat, you say Asher Yotze.
What?
Well, I said, you're not such a brisker. You go middle.
No. You go to the bathroom, but you wait to say the
brisker. Oh, that's a shayla. Do you say Asher Yotzeh now, or do you say Asher Yotzeh later? So the Shevet HaLevi has a shiloh where he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. There's a Pnei Yeshua in Rosh Hashanah that says that no, that between Shofar, it's the same thing as Kriya Shema Ben HaParakim, only Bnei HaKov and Bnei HaYira, which we don't really have today. So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua sounds like you're in Taka not allowed to say Asher Yotzeh. However, Reb Shmuel Vazda Paskas, no, you are allowed to say Asher Yotzeh, and that is the Psach of Reb Shlomo Zalman as well, that you are allowed to say all those things, and none of that is a problem. Shlomo Zalman, and now we're really short on time, Shlomo Zalman also disagreed with the Chumrah of Reb Chaim, or the Biskarov, that held you have to hear every word, you're not allowed to go to the bathroom. He held you're also allowed to go to the bathroom. The last two Maram Mekermits are interesting. What about learning during Chazar Shashatz? Are you allowed to learn during Chazar Shashatz? So Tzvi Pesach Frank thinks it's Tali in Hira Kedibur, or Hira Lav Kedibur Domi. If you hold Hira's Kedibur, then it's deeper, you're talking, you shouldn't be allowed to. So Tzvi Pesach Frank at the end comes out and he's Mekel, he thinks you could learn. I'm Russia during the Chazar Shashatz, right? Well, we spoke about this before, about learning.
Yeah,
we spoke about it in general. And then the last Maram Malkim is interesting that there's a question, should you say Tehillim during Chazor Sashatz? So the Sayyid Shari Shavoyde writes to say Tehillim. Other people say, no, Tehillim is a Hefzik. While the Stipler was a big proponent of saying Tehillim during Chazor Sashatz, I know people that I think they say about the Briskers, they used to say that either in Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, because you say Tehillim every minute you're doing something productive with learning, it's, you know, there's downtime. If you say Tehillim the whole time, every minute, you're always doing something productive. So the Briskers, based on Chassam Sofer, really, they were very makbid on saying Tehillim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was a big days for Tehillim. The Chassam Sofer said a lot of Tehillim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He clearly could have learned. But it's a Yom Mesugal for saying Tehillim. So some people follow this minhag that even during Chazor Shashatz, they say Tehillim. Other people do it during downtime. But those are different minhag. Okay.